It's Monday.
It is Monday. We made it.
We made it, and it's a beautiful day.
We're stuck in the office, so let's do a podcast.
Might as well. If we're stuck in the office, we might as well do a podcast. Yeah, on a beautiful day, because this weekend was not very nice. For those listening, it just rained and was kind of cold, but such is life.
Realty Growth Report, here we go.
Here we go.
It's the ICSC recap.
Yeah.
And how was your ICSC event, Nick?
Well, it was really awesome, actually. I should say actually, because it's always really great. I think this year was even better than normal. I think just because getting back from the pandemic, I think it was really nice just to get back there and see people again.
For those that don't know, what is ICSC?
Well, ICSC is probably one of the biggest, well, if not the biggest, I think, retail shopping center conferences that we are able to attend. And so it's just a great place to network, see old friends, see what else is new or coming, you know, to the retail shopping center world, and also hear from the experts. I think for me, that was one of the really fun things to do, was sit in on those sessions. I love it because they're like 30 minutes each, so you could go to like a bunch of them and not feel like, oh, my entire day is... some of them I wish were longer, but it was just really nice to get back there and see people again and meet new people, which was really cool. Thanks to you, Bucky, I know. What about you?
It was good. I think it was, I went to one that was in the winter, and yeah, it wasn't as well attended. And I think this was a sign of people just getting back together, which was cool to see in our industry. And I do think it's, besides just retail as a specific type of real estate, I think it's the largest gathering of real estate professionals in the entire country, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't know of another show that brings that many real estate professionals together of different backgrounds, whether they're into real estate or design. I met a guy that is helping put in chargers for electric cars into properties all over the country based out of California. So it's really cool to just, we may have a similarity of some talk of real estate, but we're not necessarily in the same thing. And getting together with those people is awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, it was just, yeah, it is. It's just a really great event, and just to see like what these people put into it. Like, that's the thing that always blows my mind, and something I always talk about is how like some of these,
the brokerages, the exhibits are designed.
It's really elaborate. I mean, it's like essentially like walking into an office. It's like a makeshift office that they like transport from wherever. And so like, it's just like, holy cow, this is crazy. And then the room itself, right? I think it takes like 15 minutes to walk from one end of the exhibit hall to the other. I mean, walking, like we're not even talking like, oh, I'm going to like stop and like chat. No. You're talking like from walking. It's like nonstop. Takes like 15 minutes to go from one end. So it's, yeah, I don't know. That always is just a fascinating thing to me. And just the turnout too. I know I went right at like 8:30, and I was just like, I had that like overwhelming, like anxiety ridden feeling of, oh my gosh, there's like literally thousands of people. And it was just like being in like a sporting event. Like everybody was going in at once. And I was like, holy cow, this is crazy. But no, I think it was just a really positive, fun, a cool thing, and highly recommend it for people that are looking at, you know, just going to some type of an event. I know sometimes I feel like we just don't do that enough, and that's a very good one to go to, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were some of your takeaways? What would you say
gathered? I think for me, you know, in the sessions were really good. One of the interesting one was about the metaverse. It was kind of funny. I was there was standing room only, and I was standing there, and there's an older gentleman next to me, and he was with a younger colleague, and the younger colleague goes, hey, are you going to stay for this one? And the older gentleman goes, well, I should, but I don't think I'm going to get it, so I think I'm going to go. but no, that was a really interesting one. So the whole premise of that one was the world of real estate in the metaverse, and how these large companies are, you know, creating these alternate worlds where you can actually purchase real estate. And they didn't really go into, I think it's just because it's so new, but it was the head of, I don't remember what his title was, but he was at CBRE and he's kind of heading out that division, if you will, and how they're going to, you know, how the metaverse is affecting the real estate world. And he talked about how, I forgot what company, it doesn't matter, but they just bought, he's like, yeah, this is a recent transaction. They just bought a piece of land in the metaverse to build their office building. So it's just, that was a really interesting one. And then the other cool thing that I took away was just, you know, there's been a constant talk in recent years about the refurbishing and redevelopment of malls. And I know we've, you know, this has been talked about probably for longer than 3 years. Let's be honest. Like, it was prior to the pandemic where we started to see the big box stores start to kind of go away, if you will. They had three really great panelists, and all who were owners of shopping centers. And they said that pre-pandemic, they probably had lost like one or two of their big box stores. But then when the pandemic hit, they were like up to three out of the four anchors. And so they're just like, what are we going to do? But now what they've seen is there's been medical facilities move in, entertainment facilities, grocers. And it was really cool because they showed like real world examples of some of their centers and what they've done. And it was like, wow, that's like, that's really neat. And kind of how that has transformed to being the shopping center traditionally being the place where you just go buy clothes and things like that, to more so of a center, I would call it a life center, where you can do more than just go shopping. They said even one of them said, hey, yeah, we actually have offices going in on the second floor. And some office user took 20,000 square feet of the second floor of a mall. And they're like, yeah, but that's what people want. People want this mixed-use building where, let's say you're working and you want to get away, you want to go eat, or you want to just go walk around or grab a coffee. Well, you just go down to the first floor of the mall and you got all that there. So they've seen a lot of success with kind of this refurbishing, I would say, redeveloping of these shopping malls, which was really interesting. It'll be interesting to see if that happens here in Rochester. I don't know.
Yeah, so you think of like our Apache Mall and the way that it's gone through its transition of now they will take some discount retailers. I think of the one that just moved out of Northgate a few years ago, and they're now in there. We're back in the day, right? It was the premier names of everything. And so you see that happening, and then they get the outdoor Shields and Orange Theory with the fitness use. Yep. And it's just not your standard JCPenney's and Macy's. And
right.
It's, I mean, got different names.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see what they've done. And, you know, I think the one thing was, you know, they said, I'll never forget, this guy was the head of, he was the head of like shopping centers and retail for CBRE as well. And he said, you know, people are saying, oh, the malls are dead, the malls are dead. And he goes, I'm here to tell you that they're not dead. In fact, we're starting to flourish. So that was really interesting. I was like, wow. I guess it's how you look at it. And, you know, everything goes through its life cycle, right? Like nothing is forever. And so it's just figuring out how you repurpose those things. And, you know, it got me thinking a lot about, Apache Mall, but also like our downtown as well, Bucky.
Yeah.
Our you know, we've always talked about that, right? Like everybody's like, oh, there's all this open office space. And you know, it's just how do we repurpose those things and make it into what people want? So yeah, it got me thinking about that a little bit too.
Yeah. When you're talking about the office on the second floor immediately and they want to go out and get a coffee, and it went to, well, that's what our downtowns are for.
Yeah.
So it's that cycle of, you know, does your downtown have parking? Are people wanting to park and go to their office? And if they are, and it's an easy, accessible place that they want to be in, the mall might be better than the downtown if they're not familiar with the parking ramps or the paying the meters or and then they end up going there if it offers the other pieces of community that the downtown offers, tends to offer.
Right.
So
I mean, I think like the key, if there's like one like key thing that I could wrap up, I would say that the real estate market, and obviously this was very specific to retail and shopping centers, it's strong and it's not going away, right? And we continue to see transactions. And yes, things are changing, but we're adapting to those changes. Mm-hmm. So
I think my biggest takeaway was just meeting with the company Withco and how they are approaching raising money for a fund and then deploying that money into small businesses and their real estate. Because I think so much of this show is focused on the triple net investment, the large A credit tenants, the names that we all know and see in multiple communities. And initially this company emailed me leading up to the show, which is a whole nother just way you can work this show of like initial email, setting up appointments. Like there's a magic to leading up to the show if you want to go there and have a book calendar. And we don't quite have that figured out.
But
still, this company does, relatively speaking, I would assume, because they're younger and a little more tech-based, and they got an email in my inbox that was like, hey, let's talk about, I can't even remember the whole details of the email, but small business and investing in them. And it's like, at the ICSG show? So I set up a meeting, and it was a standing meeting because I don't have a booth, right? We didn't have a booth there, and he didn't have a booth, and we just sat there and chatted, and it ended up leading where I chatted with him like two or three times, and I've done some research into this company even after the fact. But long story short is the founder of the company, his family had a grocery store in, I want to say, New York or New Jersey, and it was an Asian market, and their ethnicity was Asian, so they had, you know, all the Oriental foods and things of that nature, and they were leasing, and landlord came in, whether it's sold, I don't know, and increased the rent, and they couldn't afford to stay in that space. And that obviously led to them vacating. I don't know where they went from there, but long story short, this young man has since seen that as an ongoing issue that small businesses don't own real estate.
Yeah.
And as a result, he's trying to help small businesses. So he's solving a problem by buying their properties with the fund that he's put together. And then with that fund, a portion of their rent, as long as they're paying their rent on time at a certain term, will go towards a down payment so they can ultimately buy their property. Mm-hmm. And the language they're talking about investing into real estate for small businesses is similar language to what is used with these national retailers around the country of a cap rate and a long-term lease. And they have to talk that language because that's the type of show and type of community you're around that know that language. Small businesses don't necessarily, but they're presenting to us brokers and saying, hey, bring us deals of small businesses that we can vet and then believe in and then invest in their real estate and then give them the opportunity to buy their real estate in the future. And that, to me, it got me excited, and I'm still excited about it because it's like that is a sector of our industry that is not talked about
enough.
And so much of our industry is talked about long-term leases with big credit tenants or apartment buildings sold at low cap rates and high income. And it like, that's all fine and dandy, but like, it doesn't get me excited because of, I think, where we sit in the world and the businesses we deal with so many of these small businesses. Mm-hmm. So to hear that at a big show like this from a small group, it just was like, I like it.
Yeah, that was really cool. it gets me excited. I think it's a brilliant concept. And, you know, the way that I look at small business too is that's the backbone of our economy. You know, we talk about that a lot. And, you know, if we look at current events and everything like that, it is the small business owners that we really need to truly support. But, you know, we ourselves are small business owners as well, right? And sometimes I don't feel like we get enough support. And we're the ones that need it the most. Let's be honest. We do. So I thought that was a really brilliant concept. I never heard anything like it, but you're right. There's a problem, right? And they're solving the problem. They're not reinventing the wheel, right? They're taking concepts that are being used for, you know, the big time A players. And now they're bringing it down to a smaller level, which should hopefully, in theory, I would think, is, it's just going to help and make things better and hopefully have some of those small businesses grow into these big businesses, right?
What it inspired me to do, and I'm going to do more of it, another idea just came to mind, is create content around small businesses and decisions they should make for their real estate.
Yeah.
So I think of like Kyle Insura, I think that's his last name. He's based out of New Jersey, New York area, and he does a lot of content or specifically restaurant owners and what they should be doing with their real estate. And he does TikToks and Instagram and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, awesome. He's down that rabbit hole being the restaurant guy. And like, there is no small business real estate person that comes to mind. And so as a result, I've maybe done five or six since the show, TikToks. And I'm like, I need to keep creating content around that, because there's a lot of small businesses out there that need help and they don't know necessarily where to go for that help. And I think our industry especially is seen so like, do I dare reach out to them? Like, they're not necessarily approachable if it's, they're marketing this multi-million dollar property and it's high numbers and it's just for a small business, like, so I think there's a definitely opportunity, not only for us, but for other real estate agents. Again, my mind goes to, I didn't get the chance to meet him, but it was Van, the commercial man on Instagram. And I wanted to meet up with him. This guy's creating content about small businesses he's helping, and he's hilarious. And just the way he does it. And it's like, there's a whole section of our industry that is ripe to just create content around and then in turn help people and share knowledge. And it's, yeah, it's inspired me to want to do more in that
sector.
Oh,
for sure. And Bucky, you've been a champion for the small business community for sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And so, you know, I think, you know, with us specifically with Realty Growth, we, you know, we see that as a huge opportunity, right? You know, the hope that, you know, the small businesses will turn into something more. But you've been a huge champion of that. So, you know, I obviously I appreciate that, and I'm sure other people, a lot of people appreciate that about you. You know, no deal is too small, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of how we've looked at our business. And so, that was a really, I agree, that was a really fascinating conversation. And I honestly think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Nobody's thought about that. I mean, there's the traditional way, right? SBA, stuff like that. But this is a different way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. So we'll have to definitely do some follow up and see if we can actually help some of our clients too, you know, realize their dreams of owning property.
Right.
So yeah, that was a really good connection.
Another thing I got from the show is just reconnecting with people that I've seen in the industry online, and Eddie Gonzalez, who I mean, I just consider a friend, and you know, I connected with him initially online, and I only see him, gosh, once every other year if I'm lucky, right? And I got to spend like 2 days with him walking around, one, just seeing how he creates content, which is inspiring. Two, hearing a little bit about what he's going through in the Arizona market and how some of it relates, how some of it doesn't relate. And I think that's a cool thing about a show like this, is you get the ability to network people with people that are in our industry that are working on unique businesses, unique opportunities, and then it gets your mind going. So one takeaway.
Yeah, talk about the one that he, if you can talk about the
absolutely.
One.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I hope he's okay with it.
Yeah, he's been willing, in our conversation, so I think he's fine with it. But it's just a repurpose of property that I thought was cool, where they took a bank, 3,000 square feet, the bank where you'd go in and deposit your checks and so on. They ended up changing the use of the 3,000 square feet to an Orange Theory. Mm-hmm. And then it was a triple drive through. So you had the three, you know, imagine the tubes that come down from the bank and the teller. And they took the middle drive through and they converted it to a drive through coffee kiosk. So there was still the two other drive throughs usable, and you could drive through on either side. And I was just like, gosh, that's a smart use of property that I would have never thought of. I mean, I would really have to be looking online, because it's not here yet in the Minnesota market. So again, rubbing shoulders, talking with people that are doing cool stuff.
And learning best practices, all that kind of thing.
Getting inspired to do stuff. So.
No, I think, and Eddie was great. This was the first time I'd ever met Eddie. And he was just a very warm, welcoming kind of guy. Like, it was one of those things where it was like, I kind of felt like he was, like, we were friends for, like, ever.
Yeah.
Like, just super comfortable, like, just awesome.
And I think that's another cool thing about this show, is, like, you get the opportunity to meet people that are at a level that, yes, are operating at high sale volumes and doing amazing things, and you never know who you're sitting next to relative to their production and things. And at the same point, you might meet somebody that's just new to the industry. Now, Eddie, he's not now, but when I first met him at the ICSC show several years ago, he was. And like, to see him develop and then be able to just build that rapport and relationship is so cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. Specifically, while we're talking about Eddie, I was taking definitely just kind of like taking it all in. And Eddie just like knew everybody. Like, we were just walking around and he's like, oh, hey, Brittany. And I'm like, what in the world? How does this guy?
That's
like
the power of the internet.
How does
I'm
this
telling
guy
you,
know
Nick.
These people? Like,
because he does just, TikToks, and then he is not afraid to be himself on TikTok.
No.
And as a result, people are watching it because he's talking about, you know, such a impactful industry in such a light way on TikTok. And like, he's just, it's just cool. There's not everybody in our industry is at a level of where they're comfortable in their own skin on social right. media. No, and Eddie is there. And as a result, people then are like, hey, we were walking by, I want to say it was Puerto Rico, some booth that was like the Puerto Rico booth. And like, and like this lady's like, Hey, Eddie. And we get to talking and we go, it was awesome. Cause we got to have this entire conversation about a market I would never have a conversation about because Eddie was willing to let me follow around with him and like learning about their market then. But the lady's like, yeah, I love watching your stuff on social media and all that stuff. And you know, it's just the power of the internet and then bringing it to real life when you go to a show like this. So I've said it and you know it. It's like, this is why we create content, because the walls that are often put up are taken down as a result, because people get to know you without you even knowing. And like that relationship's already started without you even knowing. And then next thing you know, you get an email, get a call, walk down the hall at ICSC, someone sees you. And I have to give a lot of where I'm at in my career to the internet as it's helped me.
It
was shown again in the show.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. Use that to your advantage. Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's something that I think, you know, I know myself personally I have to continue to work on, but I think, you know, as a company as a whole, you know, it's something that we will continue to work on. You know, we've, you know, thanks to you once again for leading that charge, but, you know, seeing that power and, you know, the payoff, I think that's really important. So, it was just great. And, you know, just kind of like to your point too, kind of just to go off of it a little bit, just reconnecting with people. There's a specific individual that my dad actually formed a relationship with. Oh God, I don't even know. I think it was 1991, with Rob Glimpscher of the Glimpscher Group. And I always tell everybody the story about how, I mean, I met Rob when I was probably 6 years old. And I remember we were out in Pittsburgh on a family vacation, and Mr. Glimpscher told my family to stop by his house, and he had a black swimming pool. And I know I tell everybody this. I even told his son. That was the first time I'd ever met his son. I told his son that story too, and his son was probably just like, what in the world? But yeah, he had a black swimming pool, and I'll never forget that. But it's just reconnecting.
As a six-year-old, you're like, what is going on?
Like the coolest thing in the world. Like, oh my gosh, if I go swimming, I can't see anything. You know, all it was a liner, right? A black liner that just caused like the water to look black. But anyways, that was like the coolest thing that just has always stuck
with
me.
But as an example, you're at the show and you run into him walking down the hallway. And like that wouldn't happen, obviously, in our market, because his deal that he did here was so many years ago with your father, and he doesn't have a real reason to come back a lot. You know, once plus a couple times a year maybe. And so it's just cool that at a show like that, you never know who you might run into walking down the hallway.
Yeah. And then like just meeting new people as well, Bucky. That was really cool. Like for me, you know, kind of taking the, you know, you took the lead on that for sure. And, you know, you allowed me, you know, you said Eddie allowed you to like go with him. You allowed me to go with you.
Yep.
And that was just really cool, you know, with the people that we met and had conversations with. Cause now it's like, oh, okay, now we know each other. You know, I think of the individual from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet up with him for a beer. You know, like, it's so cool. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. So it's just,
I think it does for those that it's a big investment.
Yep.
And
it is
like, get on your ticket early, because if you don't, it's even more expensive, unless you're a student. It's really cheap. And I think it does add some credibility to your resume of meeting these people more than just an email or a phone call, or, you know, maybe you talked to them but never did a transaction with them. And like, it just adds that credibility when they think of your section of your state and they think of someone that can help, they may think of you. And so that's where they recognize, it's like anything, just meeting the person does help. So I think that credibility is real when you go to a show like that and actually shake their hand and say hello, even if you don't have a specific transaction to talk to them about at that show.
No, I agree. And, you know, that's our goal too, is, you know, we're going to have projects for them to look at. And when we have those, you know, talking to those people, I think it's just, you already have that connection with them, and they're definitely going to be obviously a lot more open to, you know, to continue the conversation. So, I mean, all around, I thought it was just really fun. It was just great. And it was just good to be back.
Yeah.
And it was just a all around, I thought it was a really, really great conference. you know, we got to have some fun too. You know, that's good too. You know, both Bucky and I, our lovely partners came with us. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I didn't go to any of the, I don't know, sometimes these vendors will put on parties. I don't know if Bucky got to any of
them. I got to one of them.
Well, there you go. I mean, so yeah, there's definitely some fun to be had as well. It's just a really, really good thing. I highly recommend it. Yeah, I know it is sometimes cost prohibitive, but if you can do it, make it work. Cause it's a very powerful place to be, and to connect with people. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Any opportunities you want to talk to people about before we sign off and move on to the next, I got to go to Stuartville and show a building.
Yeah. I got to go do some things too. Well, you know, we at Realty Growth are working on something really exciting, and maybe we can just talk about it
briefly.
Heck
yeah, go for it.
So we're planning on building a new building on a West Circle Drive, and starting to put together plans, which is super exciting, and getting renderings put together and floor plans, and be a mixed-use office retail building right out on West Circle Drive by Sterling State Bank. You know, this is one area that I know Bucky, Dylan, and myself have talked about, and how we grow our company, and it's by owning and developing assets. And so we're working on that. We're working pretty hard, and looking forward to really putting our mark on the development world as a company. I'm really excited about that, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to come. But we could probably do
as long as the interest rates don't price us out.
I know,
right?
That's the whole thing. Yeah. So
ever changing every week. It's like you think you're onto something, and then you see the prices of where it's going.
Between that and building materials, right? It's just like it's crazy. Nobody knows. So, but yeah.
At this point, we're staying positive.
We're staying positive because
I've heard you several times. You're like, we're getting this done.
We're getting this done. We're going to do this. We've been talking about this for so long. Like, we're going to do this. So,
I think like 50% of the battle is mentality.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a mindset for sure. For sure. So,
yeah, that's a cool opportunity. Matt and I are bringing on the market some houses, a portfolio of houses, and then it also has a 3,000 square foot commercial building. So, that one should be live here pretty soon, this week, I would say, in Rochester, and it's I feel like a good property because it's visible from 52, and it's something that I think someone will scoop up. So that one is exciting. We did bring back on the Loken Sawmill Inn. Unfortunately, the last deal fell through. We had some small business owners looking to buy this little 15-unit motel, and I thought we were there. We had everybody agreed to on price, but we just couldn't get them to the closing. And so they decided to back out. So we just lowered the price. And it's just, for someone that's willing to work it, it's a lot of these businesses.
Right.
I think there's opportunity there. And, sure. And like, I feel like now doing a couple Airbnbs myself, like you can build it so it's not too labor intensive, unlike some of the restaurant opportunities we try to sell.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's someone out there for it. We just got to find it. So
yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Realty Growth Report. Signing off.
Signing off. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.